Hey, Khan, Khan. Just a short reflection on Zos Chanukah.
Thank you.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go on. Khan. Yeah. It's called Zos Chanukah because of the laning that we finished up laning, even though the Chanukah Sasim, there's 12 days, Everyone brought their korban. And then at the end, we don't stop at 8, so we read through the whole laning of the Nesiim, and it ends off with a very long chapter, Zos Chanukah Samizbech, B'yomi Mashach Oso, and it adds up all the korbanos of all the Nesiim, the grand total. Why? I could do the math myself. All right, number one. Agav, because of that because of that phenomenon, the Tur, says that on this day, what's going to be tomorrow, we should take all our wicks from all the 8 days and burn them together. Because since there's a halacha that you can't just throw them in the garbage, because they were used for a mitzvah, so you have to burn them. Like people burn their lulav, with the chametz on Erev Pesach. So the Torah says it's what you should do on the 8th day. You should make a medura of all the wicks. So Svarim HaKadoshim say that din of the Torah is alluding to Zos Chanukah Samizbeach, adding up all the korbanos, also all the wicks together, all 44 wicks, and whatever oil is left over should be burnt together.
If you save until next year, they'll get very sticky.
No, you should do it tomorrow. That's it's like the mitzvah of tomorrow. It's like mitzvah sayom of tomorrow, a minug, alluding to the idea of there's the halachic reason is because the wicks should not be zayon. You have to get rid of them, dispose of them in an honorable way, like burn them. But the Torah says do it on the 8th day. Don't wait till after Hanukkah. On the 8th day. Well, it's still Hanukkah. Make a medura, sorry, lashon, of all the wicks. So the Sfar Makdashim say that it starts with a halachic reason that you have to dispose of the wicks in an honorable way. Doing it on the 8th day of Zos Hanukkah, all the wicks together, just like Zos Hanukkah adds up the grand total of all the korbanos together. Right. And we'll go a little bit deeper into this, with raising a question when adding up the grand total of all the korbanos, which are like we asked a second ago, why is that necessary? I could do the math myself. There must be a message there. There's the fact that it opens up Zos Chanukah Samizbeach. Zos, this. Now, Zos generally refers to the essence of something. Right? It's not necessarily a term used for the sum total. It's that. That is Chanukah Samizbeach, as if the grand total is revealing a certain essence. What's the term Zos, right? This is Chanukah Samizbeach, right? All right. That's how it opens up. Zos Chanukah Samizbeach Biyomi Mashachal. So, this is, and then it adds it up.
Which would be for today's application would be very
nice. Yes, and tomorrow.
Times past, it would be.
Back in the day, as in Bisman Chanukah Hamishkan, that term was used for the grand total of all the korbanos, adding up what everything had been brought over the preceding 12 days. This is Chanukah Hamishbeach.
The
Torah is all academic, calling the grand total it. Now, what we have reminiscent of it is the din of the Torah of burning all the wicks together, just like the Torah added up mentally added up all the korbanos of all the days. But it's called Zeus. This is Chanukah Samizbeach.
So which korbanos were actually burned
on that day? Just one nasi, the 12th nasi. But then the Torah went back and added up all the numbers. Grand total of all karbanos bought over the last 12 days. We read every day, 12. All the karbanos were brought for Chanukah and Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, those were added up.
Additional. Right, as zos. Now, the truth is, there should be recognition, name recognition, word recognition, rather. Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. Right? What makes the one of the many things that makes the Kohen Gadol special, and maybe the most important thing, is he's the one that does the Avodah on Yom Kippur and gets us the Kapara, and he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Bezos Yavo Aaron HaKodesh. What he has to do in order to enter the Kodesh is all called Zos. Now, this is not just Stam. Let's pull the pieces together, connect the dots. This Pach Shemen was Munach B'chosamo Shel Kohen Gadol. Now, it wasn't Stam, the Pach Shemen that the Yevam didn't reach. It had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. So, that Kohen Gadol, that Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, the one who could walk into Kodesh Kodeshim, his seal was on that oil. Right? And that's Zos Chanukah. But we're just like...
Why would the Kohen have a seal on oil?
Yeah, so the question is, why would he have to, like, put a seal on it? His Hechsher, I can't tell you.
It seems very strange. That's the only reason I'm asking. Why would he need to?
I don't know if that was standard procedure or not, of being machshir, the oil. But it was sealed with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol. So there's definitely a connection over here. Right. And the ideas like this, what I think the word is, when we say Torah is good, Torah is good, Judaism is good. Right? Generally, something being good, let's say everyone had it, would it still be good? Or is it because, like any other product on the market, scarcity is what makes it valuable? The fact that only me and you have it, so makes it valuable, and it gives us a monopoly. But if everyone would have it, close our business. Which means you can't really call anything good in the absolute sense, because if everyone would have it and everyone could do it, it would devalue. It would be nothing special. Is there such a thing that something good, that the more, the better. The more, the better. You can't get too much of it. Is there anything like that?
Air.
Air. I don't think about that one.
You don't have air, you just need it. I'm not saying that anything, you said anything. But it seems like Torah. the Dunbar wine, absolutely.
Any wine.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, Torah is different than anything else because it doesn't go up or down in value. Isn't it? I mean, you said that at one of the things. It's in contrast to everything else. Torah is always good no matter what.
If everyone would be a lawyer, that would be a tragedy. If I will be a doctor, that would be a tragedy. Yeah, right. It would be terribly devaluated. Be nothing special about it. Right. Right. But there's a chazal. It's an interesting chazal. I forget exactly the exact lashon and the exact location of chazal, but I could look it up if anyone wants to verify the source. Chazal themselves say. You have a doctor and a lawyer, as an example, I'm paraphrasing. The doctor teaches the lawyer medicine, and the lawyer teaches the doctor law. They both just went down in value. Because before, there's only one doctor in town and one lawyer in town. Now they just got devalued in half. But the Gemara says, not that way by Torah. One guy knows Baba Kama, the other guy knows Baba Metzia. This guy teaches Baba Kama to the guy who knows Baba Metzia, and the guy who knows Baba Metzia teaches it to the guy who knows Baba Kama. They both went up in value. Because they're both bigger Talmidei Chachamim, and now that there's more Talmidei Chachamim in town. But why is it different? Why is the taka different? I used to have a monopoly on Baba Kama. I used to have a monopoly on Baba Metzia, and we broke each other's monopolies, teaching each other.
Was it the town had enough lawyers? Was it the town had enough time?
That's what matters assumes.
Yeah, see, I like it.
No, no, yeah. You don't need more than one lawyer, one doctor. That's
okay,
the problem.
Well, one lawyer, you don't need more than one.
Anyway, the of course I paraphrase the Lashon of Chazal. But you know, think about this for a second, because the pshat is like this, right? Other things are not bad, some good. They have a purpose, they have a use, but not bad, some good. And in a society where no one would sue each other, what would a lawyer do? And if everyone would be healthy, and everyone would take good care of themselves, what would a doctor do? Right? These things don't have bad, some dick of value. It's because people get into trouble, whether health-wise or legally, say you need a doctor, you need a lawyer, and you got to make sure that there's only one in town so you can make a really good living at it. Right? So it means that, you know, falling into problems and scarcity is what gives it value. It doesn't bet some have value. Lost in love, when Mashiach comes, how many professions will there be? If there'll be world peace and everyone will live, be healthy and live to a ripe old age, that a guy, Ganovi says, a guy, someone who died at the age of 100 will be called a young man. And Nebuchadnezzar, a young man, went, you know. I don't know what a doctor's going to do, what a lawyer's going to do, what are, you know, what are army people going to do, what are policemen going to do, what, you know. So many, you know. How many professions will there be?
So the economy will plummet.
What are we going to do with all the art that they make in their free time?
All right, think about this. All right. Right, and the same thing, you know. So same thing, you know. It's in the professions. And then there's a question with the arts, and a question with the, like, what value will there be in the arts and in the entertainment industry? And when people are not interested in that anymore, they're more busy running after mitzvahs and only learning Torah. You know.
I don't think the average Joe's gonna have that. Average Joe will still need some music.
But yeah, but very little. Won't be the industry it is today. Right?
It's not
going to
run on Duncan.
On Duncan. Right?
It doesn't run on Duncan.
It'll be like basically like Starbucks.
Starbucks?
Starbucks is the company.
Yeah, no, yeah, think about it. You know, whereas Tyra's not though, because Tyra's bets him good. It's not good for the moment or good for me and... has to be kept scarce to keep it valuable. Right, the more Torah, the better. Because why? Because no two Talmidei Chachamim are exactly the same. Gemara says that why you have Talmid Chacham, Shemachal, Kvodo Mochel, he's allowed to be Mochel on his covet. So Gemara asks why? What gives him the right? V'chi Torah Dileu? And Gemara says, in Torah Dileu, Dechsev Ubitoroso, Yehegeyom Vla. The Torah that you learn becomes yours. There's no such thing as getting too much Torah, too much Baba Kama. Because every person who has Baba Kama in his head, right, it's a different Baba Kama. It's my unique take on Baba Kama. Right? It's, you know, my unique chelik in Torah. Like we say, v'sein chelkeinu b'sarasecha. Right? Everyone has unique chelik. There's no getting, like, been there, done that. Because everyone has unique chelik in Torah. And it never gets devalued because it's not that two guys have the same Baba Kama. They don't. No two guys have the same Baba Kama. Right? But that's mitzad the actualization of the potential of the individual. And that's what's represented by the Hanukkah candles. Right? Every candle has to be by itself. You're not allowed to have two wicks together, a Navuka's puzzle. Every candle by itself, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Every neshama is a special candle that brings its own unique light to the world. Right? And you know, no two candles are the same. You're allowed to combine two candles. You know, then it becomes possible. It's an avuka. Every candle represents every neshama onto its own. Okay? All right, every neshama onto its own. And that's why mahadrin, the way the Ashkenazim keep mahadrin, is that everyone lights his own menorah. Right? As a hidur. Right? But then there's the something else, right? The koch of the klal. Right? Right, there is a there's aside from the fact that you know Torah is very individualized, every neshama has its own unique chelek, but still, what makes Torah better than philosophy? Right, aside from the fact that you know philosophy does get old, all the professors are saying the same liberal garbage, right. Yeah, transgender. You hear it over and over and over again, right? So, what?
It's normal. It's
normal. Right, but it goes deeper than that. You know, what makes Torah, you know, something, you know, just categorically different, right? Is that, you know, the Torah, there's no, you know, first, it's two differences that are really connected. They're two sides of the same concept. Torah goes on forever, right? You could be machadish in Torah beliefs of that same Baba Kama we spoke about a minute ago. You could learn it again, see things you didn't see before, and learn it again, see things before. There's still new svarim being coming out in Baba Kama beliefs of. It's amazing, right? If you know how to learn well, it never gets old. You always see new things in it. Right, and also, what's more importantly, is that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It gives you Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No science of us gives you Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's even more important. But the two are functions of each other. Because the reason why Torah's Ein Sof is because it connects to the Ein Sof. It connects to He who is infinite. Now, the two are together. Right, but if Torah is really Ein Sof, then it's too big for any one individual. So that's what the pasuk says: Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morosha Kehilas Yaakov. Right? It's it belongs to the whole assembly of Klal Yisrael, because Torah is just too big for one person. Right? So if it was, it would be the legacy of the individual. Right? It couldn't be infinite. Right? It just be every individual taps into it, but it's infinite and it belongs to Am Yisrael. So Talmud Chacham, even though it's Torah delay, but it's, you know, it's called Torah delay because it's his unique angle on something infinite, that the thing itself is too big for any one individual. It belongs to Klal Yisrael. All right. So that one, and that's a famous medrash that some Amoritz was chepering Rabbi Yanai. And I said, leave me alone. What do you want from me? He said, Yerusai Gabach, my Yerusha is by you. I said, what do you mean? I don't even know you. I don't know what. You're not my brother or anything like that. He said, no, you're a Talmud Chacham, and I'm an Amoritz. So my Yerusha is by you. Because it says, Morosha Kehilas Yaakov. Kehilas Yanai lo ne'amara. Morosha Kehilas Yaakov. The Torah belongs to everybody. And it's true. Right? That's why Akashu didn't give the Torah to the Ovos. Right, the others would have loved to have Torah because they kept mitzvahs voluntarily, and we know Godal mitzvahs and Mishenu mitzvahs. The others would have loved to have Torah. Right, so why not? Because we give them the Torah. Why do you deny good from the others? Because Torah, you can't give Torah to individuals. It's too big. You can only give Torah to a nation. So you have to wait for Am Yisrael to become an Am, and an Am never dies because you know, as even though people die, but new people add in, they belong to that same corporate entity called an Am. An Am is the only type of kli that could hold God's Torah. Individuals can't. The others were individuals. The individuals, and the way Marshiv used to say, Zechron Livracha, is that you can't make a bris olam with an individual. You can't make an internal covenant with an individual because he's not going to be around forever. You can make a bris olam with a nation. Torah is a bris olam. All right? Right, so you have to know that you know that what Torah makes special is that on the one hand it actualizes the potential of the individual even more than the sciences and the arts and it gives a Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's infinite. But these last two points, Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and infinite, that already is indicative that has to belong to a nation, not to an individual. What an individual has is not infinite. Right, and you say Torah gives you a connection to the infinite, and therefore it itself is infinite, and it could go on, belief self, and there's no such thing as overdoing it or redundancy in it. Right? If so, it must belong to a klal. That's saying much way too, because if that's true, it's just way too big for an individual. And when we realize that Torah belongs and it's too big for an individual, then you've chap what Torah really is. That Torah is like is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore and Torah is therefore infinite and internal. Right? You come to that realization when you realize it belongs to an Am, and vice versa, realize it belongs to an Am, you can really appreciate that Torah is really, really infinite and eternal. If you think it belongs to an individual, it's your philosophy, it's what you know seems right to you. It's what makes sense to you. Say it's no, it's timeless truth. Right? And it goes on forever. And it doesn't stop anywhere. And then it just can't, it's just too big for the individual. The individual just puts a spin on it. Well, it's gotta be held by a nation. That's why he's Bezos Yovo Aaron HaKadosh. When Aaron HaKadosh goes into the Kadosh Kadoshim, he goes in as a shliach of Am Yisrael. He doesn't go in as on his own volition. He goes there. You know, to bring kapara for all Am Yisrael. That's a bezos. Right? When we go back to the Kodesh HaKodesh, we go back to the essence where the Torah itself is there and the Oron. And when the Torah wasn't there, when the Oron wasn't there anymore in Second Temple, there's the Evan Shasia from which all reality came from. Go back to the source, but the source includes everything. And the Chazal say bezos beschus Shabbos beschus bris milah. That those are mitzvahs that even though the individual has to keep them, but they were also given to Am Yisrael as an Am. Right? You know, the Shabbos goes, Ois, Beni Uben B'nei Yisrael. So even though every individual keeps Shabbos, but it belongs to the Klal. Kodesh says, I give Knesset Yisrael, Yeh Ben Zugach. Your mate is Klal Yisrael. We're almost finishing. We're wrapping it up. All right? A little bit more. All right? It belongs to Klal Yisrael, right? You know, it's right. Bris Milah also. You know, it's also the ois that you've entered Am Yisrael, and that's why there's a special halacha by Bris Milah. We don't have by any other mitzvah in the Torah, as far as I know. Right? If your father didn't give you a Bris Milah, Bezdin steps in and does it, because that mitzvah is your shaychus to the Klal. So Bezdin, as a representative of Klal Yisrael, can give you a Bris Milah. You don't have any other mitzvah that Bezin will do the mitzvah for you. Because this mitzvah has an inyan of nationhood. Right? So it's a bezos, bezos HaTorah, bezos HaMila, bezos also bezos the Torah is another drasha, because the Torah is Marosha Kilas Yaakov. Right? So that's what it means, that this Pachshem is Munach Bechol Samo Shokoin Gadol. This Pachshemen reached the source. Right? Reached the source. But at the source, all neshamas are one. At the source, right, where it's the Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu over there, that source is the koach of the klal. So Torah actualizes the potential of the individual, but also makes the individual a part of something much larger. Part of Knesset Yisrael, and Mitzad being part of Knesset Yisrael, he's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's a part of this bris olam that's forever and ever and ever. Right, so that's it, the essence. The essence comes out in the koch of the klal. Because until it's my Torah, so it's your Torah, but you don't see how Torah is, you know, is connected to infinity. You get to the essence of it when you see how Torah is much bigger than the individual. The individual benefits from Torah. And he benefits from Torah more than he could benefit from anything else. More. Much more than he could benefit from their philosophy and their culture. But he's benefiting from something that's too big for an individual to ever even encompass. It's so much bigger. So much bigger. All right? And that's it. That the Pashas Munach Bechososh Kodon Godol, the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is too big for any one individual. It's the Kedusha and the Koch of Klal Yisrael. Now, all the Avoros that Yom Kohen Godol does on Yom Kippur is in the name of all Klal Yisrael. All right? Right, and that's also the things that the Yevarim legislated against after Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael. All right, so there's two statements here. How Torah is the best thing for the individual, but it also is bigger than any one individual. The infinity of Torah, it has to do with how it belongs too big for the individual, and how it gives you Dveik Sakarshko is too big. Then Mitzad, the asset that belongs to the individual, and that comes out Mitzad Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael. So all the nights we just light candles, connected everyone's individual achievement. But even there is hidden the koach of the klal, because mi'ikar din ner ishu beso. The whole household is also with the same candle. But there's a we were mahadar, every individual should light. To show how the Torah is, you know, it actualized the potential of in the individual. And the Torah doesn't take away your individuality. Torah gives you your special individuality. You find your special chelik, that why God created you. You find that in your Torah learning. Your chelik in Torah. You find your chelik, your special place in the world. Mitzad, the Torah. But the Torah, so we have to climb to a higher madrega. We see a Torah that this Torah that's giving me as an individual so much actualization is still even bigger than me. Bigger than I could ever be. And that's what makes it so valuable and so precious. It's bigger than any one individual could ever hold. And that comes out on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Right? That once we have all eight candles, right, we have everything there, then we realize that all these eight are B'nai Bina. They're all the children of Bina, right? And on the eighth day, we break through to the Bina itself, the Havana Satara, and we understand that it's, you know, it's bigger. That's how lucky we are, that the Torah that we learn and that we understand is even much bigger than what we understand. And that's the privilege and that's the honor. And that's how we know it gives us dveikus and hakadosh baruch hu. You're tapped into something much bigger than yourself. Something that's forever. Something which they, you know, it took a while. But after 1,500 years, you know, Aristotle was finally schlugged up. Right? It took 1,500 years. Second world's a little bit slower than the Jewish world. Right? You know, and they finally challenged in the Renaissance. You know, started challenging Aristotle, re-examining, you know, Euclid, discovering, you know, curved space and things like that, right? They don't have timeless truths, you know. Right now people learn Greece for, you know, some historical significance, right? Torah is timeless. But if Torah is timeless, then it's too big for the individual. So now we have the real truth, the absolute truth that can never change. That's too big for any one individual and any one given generation. Right? And that's what comes out on the eighth day. After the night, after we've hit the high point of Chanukah, during the day, we break through to the klal. At night, every candle by itself, but we finally break through to the sherish of Torah, the zeis, the essence of Torah. The essence of Torah is bigger than the individual. The individual gets, you know, tremendous fulfillment from it, right? But the thing itself is bigger than the individual. It belongs to Knesset Yisrael, it belongs to the klal. And that's so Chanukah Sabeah, Mizbeach, in adding it all up. The Koach HaKlali emerges. The infinity of Torah is in its Koach Klali, not in the Koach Prati. The Prat is not infinite. The Prat is not infinite and not timeless. Right? The Koach HaKlal is. And that's what comes out on Zos Chanukah. It's called the essence of Chanukah comes out, and Dafka comes out tomorrow. You know, it's like the high point of Chanukah is tomorrow. Where we break through and we get past the individual candles, which represent the actualization of the koach of the individual, and we make all the wicks of all the days together. That's the or that you even light it during daylight hours. That's the or that, you know, generally the or of the Hanukkah candles at night. Right? Individuals shine when there's darkness. Right? The cloud shines even during times of light, because the cloud could add to the world even in the matzav ha'aras panim. Right? This is what I wanted to share with you. Thank you very much for coming.
Isn't 8 also the Lamala Minatev? Number 8 is the Lamala Minatev.